With the highest number of young STEM graduates per capita in the EU, Ireland has the people and skills your company needs to succeed here. IDEA Ireland, the National Investment Development Agency, can help you find and nurture the people you need to internationalise and thrive. Our talent is just one of the extraordinary benefits Ireland has to offer. Learn more at IDEAIreland.com. Invest in extraordinary.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
From the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, June 7th. Coming up today.
Teed off. Reaction pours into the controversial tie-up between the PGA and LIV Golf.
Rishi Sunak makes his first visit to the White House as UK Prime Minister.
Citigroup's Jane Fraser is the latest CEO to visit China.
And New York overtakes Hong Kong as the most expensive place to live.
Another deadly mass shooting, this time in Virginia. Plus, New York City's air quality is the worst in the world because of Canadian wildfires. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The Yankees lost to the White Sox, put Aaron Judge on the injured list. Mets lost in Atlanta. Nuggets and Heat play Game 3 of the NBA Finals tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, the business news you need to start your day in just one 15-minute podcast. Each morning on Apple, Spotify, the Bloomberg Business app, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Here are the stories we're following today.
First, what we're learning more about when it comes to yesterday's controversial tie-up between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf. The two tournaments are going to combine into a new commercial entity. The governor of the Saudi Wealth Fund is going to serve as its new chairman. PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan is defending the move.
This is a significant change for us, you know, in the direction that we were going down. But as I'm trying to explain, and I will continue to explain as we go forward, this ultimately is a decision that I think is in the best interest of all of the members of the PGA Tour.
Well, the deal between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf is likely to draw scrutiny from regulators. The U.S. had already opened an investigation into anti-competitive violations when the two parties were separate entities.
Well, Nathan, the deal comes at a critical time for the PGA. One of the tour's former top players, Brooks Koepka, just won the PGA Championship after joining LIV Golf. And another PGA major, the U.S. Open, is just a week away. Mike Wan is head of the U.S. Golf Association and the former commissioner of the LPGA. He tells Bloomberg it's too early to say whether the PGA got pushed into the deal.
If you think about LIV, it's a golf tour that has about $1 billion of expenses and very little, if any, revenue. Time will tell, but the other side of me reads that and says, you know, if I was sitting on a tour that had no revenue and $1 billion of expenses, and now there's a joint group owning that, would I feel more or less enthused about my future? I'm not sure what the answer to that is, but I think those are questions that aren't getting asked.
USGA Commissioner Mike Wan says the timing of the announcement is interesting, given that the U.S. Open starts just 1 week from tomorrow.
And we're going to have much more on this controversial golf merger coming up shortly. But first, let's talk global politics. Rishi Sunak is making his first visit to the White House as UK Prime Minister. We go to London to get the details with Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Stephen Carroll. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. It's the British Prime Minister's most extensive interaction with US leaders since he took power in October. During this two-day visit, Rishi Sunak will meet the President, congressional leaders and company executives. He wants to reaffirm transatlantic economic and cultural links, but a spokesman says he won't be discussing a trade deal with Joe Biden. The effect of the Inflation Reduction Act on the UK will be on the agenda, though, along with Ukraine, China and how best to regulate the rapid rise of artificial intelligence. In London, I'm Stephen Carroll. Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Stephen, thank you. While Prime Minister Sunak makes his way to Washington, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is putting his long-planned trip to China back on track. Sources tell us Blinken plans to visit Beijing in the coming weeks and could even meet with Chinese President Xi Jinping. We get more from Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern in Washington.
He was supposed to go earlier this year, but of course that got derailed when there was this alleged Chinese spy balloon flying over the continental U.S. And what the State Department has always said was that this trip was postponed. And now we know that the Secretary of State will be going in the coming weeks.
And Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern reports this would be the latest effort from the White House to bring some normalcy back to the strained U.S.-China relationship.
Well, first it was Elon Musk, then Jamie Dimon. Now word of another big CEO paying another visit to China. Let's get the details now from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan, the boss at Citigroup, Jane Fraser, vowed to keep expanding operations in China during her meeting with the nation's top financial regulator. The regulator promised to further open up the financial sector there. The trip comes despite growing tensions between China and the U.S. and as Western leaders try to become less dependent on the communist-led country. In addition, China's economy has fallen on rocky times, and Beijing has cracked down on foreign businesses. Global banks have had to rethink their ambitions in China, revising profit goals and cutting jobs. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Well, staying in China now, we have new developments on the controversy surrounding TikTok. TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, has been accused of helping China track Hong Kong activists. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
A former ByteDance executive, Roger Yu, said China has God-credential access to all data on the platform. Yu was ByteDance's head of engineering in the United States. In a court filing, he says the Communist Party has a committee in Beijing with super-user credential to track down protesters. ByteDance says the claims are baseless and that it will vigorously fight this suit. TikTok faces bans in the U.S. following reports the company reviews and stores user data in China. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Brian, thanks. Speaking of Hong Kong, we're learning New York has taken over the city as the world's most expensive for expats. Soaring inflation and rising accommodation costs were cited as reasons for New York topping ECA International's cost of living rankings this year. Hong Kong was second, while Geneva and London remained third and fourth. Singapore climbed from 13th place last year to break into the top five for the first time.
Well, we're also focused on the Chinese economy this morning, Nathan. Data shows exports from the country fell for the first time, and that's adding to risks in the world's second largest economy as global demand weakens. Overseas shipments shrank 7.5% from a year ago.
Time now to take a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world with Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City has the worst air quality in the world this week. A thick haze of smoke hangs over major cities in the Northeast and New England. It's from the wildfires in Canada. Doctors are warning the air could be dangerous, especially to people with respiratory illnesses. Pulmonary specialist Dr. Ada Capo says since the alert, she has seen patients nonstop at her North Bergen, New Jersey practice.
We have seen a few patients with worsening asthma today, and we've seen more than a few with worsening allergy symptoms. This is actually probably the worst I've seen the numbers in a long time.
New York Mayor Eric Adams says that air conditions are expected to deteriorate further this afternoon. Another mass shooting in the U.S. In Richmond, Virginia, seven people were shot, two fatally, outside where a high school graduation ceremony had ended. One of the victims was an 18-year-old who had just graduated. Police have arrested a 19-year-old suspect. The field for Republican presidential candidates is expanding. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie announced his 2024 campaign last night. At a town hall event in New Hampshire, Christie tried to separate himself from the former president once he worked for, and saying it was a mistake to support Donald Trump.
I voted for him twice, okay? Am I a Trump voter then? Hell no, man.
Christie also slammed President Biden, saying he is not the guy he used to be. referencing the 80-year-old Biden's age. Mike Johnston declared victory as the next mayor of Denver. The former Colorado State Senator and Democrat announced his runoff election win to supporters last night, vowing to build a different kind of city.
We can build a city that is big enough to keep all of us safe, to house all of us, to support all of us. That is our dream of Denver.
Mayor-elect Johnston received 54% of the vote, while his opponent, Kelly Breaux, the CEO of the Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce, got 46%. Atomic energy officials are keeping a close eye on the reservoir feeding the cooling systems at Europe's largest nuclear power plant. Numerous towns and villages along the Dnipro River in southern Ukraine have been flooded after the destruction of a hydroelectric dam under Russian control. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in over 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Time for our Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. Aaron Judge back at a place no Yankee fan wanted him to be. The injured list, when he missed 9 games last month with a hamstring injury, the Yankees went 3-6. Judge has a contusion and sprained ligament in his toe. Not a fracture. The hope is he can return after a 10-day stint on the IL. Without him, Yanks had only 3 hits. None until the 7th inning. They lost the stadium to the White Sox 3-2. Lucas Giolito hurled 6 hitless innings. They took him out. Clark Schmidt took the loss, fell to 2-6. Mets had only 4 hits in Atlanta, but they had a 4-1 lead in the 6th inning. The Braves rallied against Carlos Carrasco and Drew Smith, scored 4 times and won 6-4, and that drops the Mets under 500. Jacob deGrom, who had so many injuries while with the Mets, now has perhaps his most serious injury in his first season with Texas. Rangers signed him for $185 million. DeGrom made 6 starts, and now he needs surgery and may not pitch again until 2025. Another pitcher, Alec Manoah, who was Toronto's ace last season, sent down. He has struggled this year. Nuggets and Heat, Game 3 of the NBA Finals tonight in Miami. They split 2 in Denver. Should be a great French Open men's semifinal Friday when Novak Djokovic meets Carlos Alcaraz. They both just won their quarterfinal matches. The PGA Tour is in Toronto, teeing off tomorrow. It will be interesting to hear today reaction from players after this blockbuster story, as heard earlier here on Bloomberg Radio. The PGA and LIV Tours now merging. No one knew about it, not even Rory McIlroy, who's been the most outspoken against players making the move. PGA Commissioner Jay Monahan met with players yesterday. Word was the meeting was intense and heated. John Stashdow with Bloomberg Sports.
With the highest number of young STEM graduates per capita in the EU, Ireland has the people and skills your company needs to succeed here. IDEA Ireland, the National Investment Development Agency, can help you find and nurture the people you need to internationalize and thrive. Our talent is just one of the extraordinary benefits Ireland has to offer. Learn more at IDEAIreland.com. Invest in extraordinary.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas, begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
From coast to coast, from New York to San Francisco, Boston to Washington, D.C., nationwide on SiriusXM, the Bloomberg Business App, and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. It is the story that has shocked the golf world. The PGA Tour is merging with LIV Golf, the rival tour funded by Saudi Arabia, which has poached some of the biggest names from PGA. The surprise combination of these once bitter rivals has left many shocked and really confused. U.S. Golf Association CEO Mike Wann sat down with the Bloomberg Business of Sports team to give us his reaction to the news. He spoke with Bloomberg's Scarlett Fu and Damian Sassauer. Let's listen to part of that conversation now.
It was a surprise. I think like everybody else in the golf world, we were surprised by the news. And if this proposed consolidation can resolve these conflicts and get the world of golf back focused on the opportunities and the growth that exists for the game, then that's an important step.
But there's going to be a lot of unhappy people here, I imagine, as well. I wonder, as we head into, you know, the U.S. Open and obviously 28 years since we've been in, you know, the Los Angeles area with a major, you know, what do you think is going to be the vibe surrounding the event?
Yeah, I mean, the game of golf is global, even if everybody in America doesn't really understand that. I came here after 12 years as the LPGA commissioner, where, you know, we played in 17 countries a year and televised in 190 countries. I mean, here I came at the U.S. Open. You know, this year we had almost 10,200 people enter to try to play in the U.S. Open, and they came from, we had entries from all 50 states, Puerto Rico, District of Columbia, but also 87 other countries. So not just viewership, you know, they'll watch the U.S. Open in 190 countries, but even in terms of participants trying to play their way in. I mean, they literally come from all over the world. So that's an exciting time for the game.
Does this mean that Saudi Arabia would play a role in funding development of future talent?
I think everybody has taken, and myself included, you can't help it. You read this and you start trying to figure out all the stuff we don't know. And so exactly what this means in terms of who's in charge of what, I think, is a lot to be uncovered. So I'm going to wait like the rest and kind of figure that out.
Was the PGA kind of pushed into doing this?
Scarlett, I don't know if your comment is right or not. I mean, currently, if you think about LIV, it's a golf tour that has about $1 billion of expenses and very little, if any, revenue.
Yeah.
And so, and nobody really concerned about that, because as long as the Saudi fund wanted to keep funding it,
bottomless pockets,
they'd keep funding it. If this turns into the business that I read about in the release, where you really have a business, an investment, and a planned and anticipated rate of return on that investment, you have to look at every asset in the portfolio. Time will tell, but the other side of me reads that and says, you know, if I was sitting on a tour that had no revenue and $1 billion of expenses, and now there's a joint group owning that, would I feel more or less enthused about my future? I'm not sure what the answer to that is, but I think those are questions that aren't getting asked as well.
LIV's slogan is "Golf but louder." How should the game of golf adapt to incorporate some of the elements that LIV really presented to people? You know, a shorter game, 3 days instead of 4 days, 54 holes, that kind of thing.
Well, I've said from the beginning, I mean, golf's a great big game, and there's room for all kinds of formats. You know, what wasn't really helpful is really kind of divisive conflicts at the highest level. I mean, we were spending, I've said this many times, but in the middle of golf's greatest boom, I mean, really in 100 years, golf's greatest growth boom, we were spending 90% of our time talking about the conflict between about 400 people. And that's okay. I mean, you know, those 400 people had choices to make in terms of where to play. But while that was going on, we were leaving no oxygen in the room to talk about more juniors than ever before, more women than ever before, more people playing the golf course off a golf course at Top Golfs and driving ranges than ever before, more people playing the game outside the U.S. than inside the U.S. in the last couple hundred years. So it's been an amazing amazing run in terms of the sport. But unfortunately, a conflict at the very highest couple hundred is all we really seem to talk about. Unfortunately, we're probably going to talk. It seems like we're going to be talking about it a little bit longer.
No, I hear what you're saying. But at the same time, the innovations that LIV...
So maybe we can get back to the game.
Right. But the innovations that LIV really put out there and made part of its product is something that maybe the PGA Tour can incorporate. Should it?
I'm not sure. You know, will the PGA Tour be operating LIV? Will it be some sort of combination? But I do think that in all likelihood, a year from now, they'll still be professional tours as we know them, and there may still be
you know, live team-oriented sports that are slightly different formats. I'm not sure that's ever been a bad thing, as long as it wasn't a constant conflict.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Today, your morning brief on the stories making news from Wall Street to Washington and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed at 6 a.m. Eastern each morning on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning starting at 5 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, "Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, SiriusXM Channel 119, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Bloomberg Sustainable Business Summit returns to London on April 25th for a solutions-driven look at the sustainable business and finance landscape, looking at the latest trends in ESG regulations, supply chain innovation and transition finance. Speakers include leaders from CDP, Emirates Environment Group, Seedtrace, COA and more. Summit advisors include City Commercial Bank, Red Sea Global and Schneider Electric. Visit BloombergLive.com/SBS2024 to learn more.